in the silence. The silence in the waiting. Still we can't know you are good. All your plans are for your glory. Still we can't know you are good. Yes, we can know. Church, good morning. I'm so glad that we are here in 2021 today. And one of the things that we get to do as a church, and I encourage you just to start off your year with this. There, we have a new Bible reading plan for this year. It is in the back, so of course we'll post electronic copies on the Facebook page and whatnot. But if you want a physical copy, it's there. And one of the things that And thank you, Zach, for putting that together. But on Sundays, every Sunday is going to be a collection of psalms as the reading. And so this first Sunday of the year, it's Psalms 1 through 3. And we're not going to be reading those psalms, those particular psalms, you know, in worship every week. But we are going to this morning. So if you haven't started yet, we're going to give you a head start today. So we're going to read a few of those psalms in worship. So we're going to begin in Psalm chapter 1 this morning. Psalm chapter 1 is just such a foundational psalm, a piece of scripture as it relates just to be grounded in the Word of God. And so this is going to be on the screen. Let me read this over us today. It says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers." Let's read this together. "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in due season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that we would be like trees planted by streams of water. Lord, that 2021, that would be a year that yields fruit in our life. Lord, not just in our lives, but that yields fruit for those around us. Lord, I pray that our leaf does not wither. Lord, I pray that, Lord, that as we ground ourselves in your word, Lord, that we would prosper spiritually. Lord, that you would, Lord, cause your will to be accomplished through us this year. Lord, regardless of what comes, our hope and our faith is in you this morning, Lord. Lord, so we continue to sing. Lord, it's declaring our faith and our trust in you. Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one. Can you sing this with me, church?
Our Father everlasting, the all-creating one. God Almighty, through your Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus our Savior. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three.
name of Jesus. Sing that chorus again. I believe in God the Father. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus. For I believe in the name of Jesus.
Psalm 3. O Lord, how many are my foes? Many are rising against me. Many are saying of my soul, there is no salvation for him in God. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory and the lifter of my head. I cried aloud to the Lord, and he answered me from his holy hill. I lay down and slept. I woke again, for the Lord sustained me. I will not be afraid of many thousands of people who have set themselves against me all around. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for you strike all my enemies on the cheek. You break the teeth of the wicked. Salvation belongs to the Lord. Your blessing be on your people.
Lord, you are our glory, our salvation, the lifter of our head. Lord, you are a shield about us. Lord, thank you that as we approach this year, as we start it, Lord, you are our strength, our shield, our protector. So, Lord, we do ask for that today. Lord, I pray that you would just bring about your provision in our life. Lord, I pray that over anything else, that you are our glory. Lord, that as we look at whatever comes our way, Lord, that we shall, Lord, we look above those and look to you. Lord, we see your glory, your beauty, your majesty on display. Lord, we make the decision, Lord, to fix our eyes upon that which is eternal today. Thank you, Lord. Lord, thank you that your grace has come down to save us. Thank you for your healing hand upon our life. Let's sing this together. The grace of God. The grace of God has reached for me. Pulled me from the raging sea. And I am safe on this solid ground. Is my salvation. I will not fear when darkness falls. Strength will help me scale these walls. Salvation. Who is like? Thank you. flowers each promise of His word. When winter fades, I know spring will come. Is my salvation. Who is like you, Lord? Who is like the Lord our God? There's none beside you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Though the nations rage, the kingdoms rise and fall. Let's lift our voices.
Though the nations rage, kingdoms rise and fall, there is still one King reigning over all. Though I will my God is the Ancient of Days. None above Him,
none above Him, none before Him, all of time in His hands. For His throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, God is the Ancient.
the dread of night overwhelms my soul. He's here. He is here with me. I am not alone. Oh, his love is sure, and he knows my name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Not above him, none before him, all the time in his hands. For his throne it shall remain and ever stand. All the power, all the glory, I will trust in his name. For my God is the Ancient of Days. Though what may not see what the I will watch and wait for the Savior King. Sing this, then my joy complete, standing face to face in the presence of the Ancient of Days. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Holy, holy is he. Sing a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Worthy, worthy is the a new song to him who sits on heaven's mercy seat. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Lord, we bow our lives before you. Lord, we declare that you are the King of creation, the King of our lives. Lord, that you are sovereign over all things. Lord, thank you that all of time is in your hands. Lord, I pray that you would just fill us with the hope of the resurrection this morning. Lord, as we hear your word out of 1 Peter, Lord, speak to us by the power of your Spirit. Lord, do a work in us and through us this year. We love you. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Church, you can be seated.
Good morning. I don't know about you, but I am really grateful for a lot of godly men in our church who are capable teachers, because I don't know if you've noticed, but like for 5 of the last 6 weeks, I haven't been here. And some of that was by design, and some of it was not by design, and almost all of it was accidental, even when it was by design, because we got quarantined for being exposed to COVID for 2 weeks, and then we got COVID after the quarantine was over, and we quarantined for 2 weeks, and we had to cancel our Christmas plans, all those things. So count me among the people who are not sorry to see 2020 go and welcome a new year. Now, my 2020 may not have been as bad as yours, and certainly my 2020 was not as bad as others were, and I know that's become sort of a meme, a cultural meme, if you will, this joke, punchline. Last year was filled with, for all of us, with ups and downs of various sorts. There are many ways in which I feel like 2020 was a great year. My family, my immediate family, nuclear family, is closer than we ever have been. Because we were physically closer for longer than we ever have been. I feel like by God's grace, I've grown as a Christian and a father and a husband, and I'm grateful for that. But like I said, I was also sick twice in 2020, once at least for sure with COVID. I missed celebrating Advent with you, the meaningful part of the build up to Christmas. I was out, and this is my favorite time of the year. And we had to cancel our Christmas plans with my parents in South Carolina. We all collectively lived through 2 hurricanes and a tropical storm, along with various other severe weather incidents. The words quarantine, mask, vaccine, and pandemic have become a regular part of our vocabulary, and they're probably not going away anytime soon. And then, on top of all of that, we had a political season that was as intense as maybe it has ever been. Things have to get better in 2021, right? But if you're anything like me, in the back of your mind when you say, surely 2021 has to be better, in the back of your mind, you're harboring these fears. What if it isn't better than 2020? What if it's the same? Or worse, what if we look back and say 2020 was only the beginning? What if 2021 is the year that your worst fears are realized? What if you lose your job? What if your house burns down? What if Republicans lose the Senate, the Supreme Court gets packed, and hate speech laws are passed that effectively ban Christian evangelism. What if the government mandates a COVID vaccine? What if your child is diagnosed with cancer or worse? What if it's a year marked by suffering? Happy New Year? Now, I'm not saying this to scare or depress you. As much as I wanted to use words on Vision Sunday 2021 with a fresh year, we just turned a page of a calendar. As much as I wanted to stand here and use words like recovery and rebuilding and recommitment and renewal, I can't stand here and prophesy that 2021 is going to be your year. I can't say that. I can't promise that circumstances will improve. And even if they did, they still wouldn't be worthy of your trust. No, what we need this morning, what you woke up this morning needing, and what you walked in this door needing, what you're going to walk out needing after this service is long over, and what you're going to need on January 1 of 2022 is hope, is real, solid, stable, steadfast, rock-solid hope. Rightly defined hope and rightly placed hope. That's what you need. That's what we need. Whether 2021 is better, the same, or worse, every person in here needs hope. We need hope. If we would learn the lesson of 2020 and truly thrive in 2021, no matter our circumstances, we must fight for hope in what is certain. We have to fight for hope in what is sure. I'm going to say it one more time. We have to fight for hope in what is certain. So we're going to study one verse today, but I'm going to read a lot of verses. So if you would, stand with me. We're going to turn to 1 Peter. And I'm just going to say at the beginning, my study in 1 Peter 1 this week, I started out, I was going to preach 13 through 25. My study was so good that I actually thought about, and maybe still will, I'm not sure yet at this point, and this is kind of scary looking at next week, delaying Genesis to study 1 Peter. It was that good this week, that refreshing and encouraging to my soul. Just a study on suffering in 1 Peter. Maybe, we'll see. It's either going to be 1 Peter or Genesis next Sunday, unless it's not. So I've learned in 2020 to say, Lord willing. So we'll see what happens. 1 Peter chapter 1, we're going to read verses 3 through 13 together. I would encourage you to hear the word of the Lord this morning. We're going to study verse 13 though. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. Imperishable, undefiled, unfading. Kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have also been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who prophesied about the grace that was to be yours searched and inquired carefully, inquiring what person or time the Spirit of Christ in them was indicating when he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the subsequent glories. It was revealed to them that they were serving not themselves, but you, in the things that have now been announced to you through those who preached the good news to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things into which angels long to look. These mysteries of salvation, angels long to trade places with us and see salvation from our perspective as those who were rebels, who have been changed by the Holy Spirit, and who are now filled with the Holy Spirit and living right lives before God on our way to glory. Things into which angels long to look. Therefore, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded, set your hope fully on the grace that will be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you for your word. Please use it this morning in the lives of your people to do whatever it is that your good pleasure is for them. Please make our time profitable and useful. Fill us with your Spirit. Give us an anticipation to hear a word from your word, and therefore a word from you, and to act on it. Cleanse us from impurities and defilements of every sort. Prepare our minds to hear, our hearts to receive, and our hands to work what it is you call us to. And may 2021, God, if it's nothing else, let it be for us a setting of our hope fully on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. May we fight for hope and what's certain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So like I said, we're only going to study verse 13. I wanted to study everything that happens after verse 13. And like I said, maybe we just need a whole series on 1 Peter. I'm not certain yet. Y'all pray for me in that. But in verse 13, what Peter does is he starts with fighting words. After the therefore, because of everything that we read before, therefore, and then he goes into what are fighting words. Now you might not think that they're fighting words at first, but if you're reading the ESV with me and you read the footnote that says preparing your minds for action, you just drop your eyes down to the footnote. The literal original language is going to say girding up the loins of your mind. What in the world does that mean, girding up the loins of your mind? Well, the ESV has captured it pretty well by saying preparing your minds for action. Getting ready. This is a military term. And what girding up the loins means, if you're unfamiliar like I am, mostly with first century culture, they wore robes. Maybe you knew that already. But what the military would do is when they were about to fight, therefore have to run, they would take their robes and tuck them into their belt. It's called girding up their loins. They would tuck their robe into their belt so that they could run and not trip or be slowed down. And so that they could engage in combat. And so he is saying, this is what you're to do in your mind to prepare for action. This same phrase, again, the actual original word is a little bit obscured by the English, but it's a good translation nonetheless. In Ephesians 6, when he's talking about, when Paul is writing about the armor of God, putting on the full armor of God, which is military armor to fight against the schemes of the evil one. He says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 14, you fasten on the belt of truth, and it's the same root word as preparing your minds for action. You are girding up for battle so that nothing gets in your way. You're expecting action and you're preparing for it. And not just action, but battle. You're preparing for battle. There's a commentator named Karen Jobes, and she's really helpful here because she says a modern equivalent to something like this, like to capture the heart of what it is Peter's saying, is roll up your sleeves and get ready for battle. Just rolling, like that's what we would say, rolling up your sleeves to get your hands dirty. For intentional action. We live in a time of war. We wage spiritual war in Christ's name against the world, the flesh, and the devil, our great enemies. Attacks counterattacks and constant oppression should not surprise you. You should be ready for action. You have an adversary, and that adversary wants to kill and destroy you. We're going to read in a minute, he wants to devour you. So this is going to start. Like, if we're going to set our hopes fully on the grace to be brought to us in Christ, Peter knows it starts in your mind. It's the battle is going to be won or lost in your mind, because that's where it starts. What you think about, what you meditate on, what you desire most, you need to get your mind right. Get your mind ready for action. Stay alert. Stay awake, Jesus will say. Be watchful. Be ready at all times for battle, preparing your minds for action. And another one with your mind, being sober-minded. Look at verse 13. Therefore, because of all that we've said, preparing your minds for action and being sober-minded. This is about self-control. Being sober-minded is about self-control. Think about this. Distracted armies get defeated. Distracted armies get defeated. This is true. He's not just talking about alcohol here, although I think that's in view. It's talking about a disciplined focus of mind that understands that we are at war and lives are at stake. Sober-minded. You understand the stakes, and you're not going to allow yourself to be distracted, but you're going to be alert and watchful. This is disciplined mentality. These are not trivial matters. A commentator says that the people of God should not give themselves over to any excess of any sort that would cause us to be distracted or diverted from the setting of our hope on the grace of God in Christ. Two other places in the book of 1 Peter that talk about sober-mindedness. The first is chapter 4, verse 7. And he says, be sober-minded, be watchful. I think it should be up here. 1 Peter 4, 7. Self-controlled and sober-minded for the sake of your prayers. This is directly connected to your prayer life. Sober-mindedness, a sobriety of mind, is directly connected to the turning of your attention to God and communion and fellowship with Him for the sake of your prayers. Your prayers depend on this mindset for the sake of your prayers. And then in chapter 5, verse 8, this is where it actually says be watchful. Be sober-minded, be watchful, be alert for your enemy, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's just looking for the opportunity to get you. Be sober-minded, therefore, knowing that you have an adversary. And it's not just an adversary that's external to you. You fight against the old nature, the world, the flesh, the devil, our three great enemies in this battle. And they want to destroy you. They are the enemies of all righteousness, and they want to destroy you. You have to be sober-minded. You have to understand the stakes so that you'll prepare your mind. Karen Jobes again says, and this quote is will be up there behind me. She says, Peter wishes his readers to avoid any form of mental or spiritual intoxication. I love that. Because it's not just alcohol that will intoxicate your mind or numb your mind. The infinite scroll of social media can be a mind-numbing intoxication that distracts you from understanding what's at stake and from preparing your mind for action. The desire to acquire is a spiritual excess that people use to numb their minds and to cope with hardship in this life. Peter wishes his readers to avoid any form of mental or spiritual intoxication that would confuse the reality that Christ has revealed and deflect them from a life steadfastly fixed on the grace of Christ. These are fighting words. Prepare your minds for action. Be sober-minded. Right? What happens to the sentry who falls asleep when he's supposed to keep watch? Be alert. Be awake. Peter uses fighting words because this is war. And because this mindset is something you also have to fight to maintain. Right? Am I right about that? This is not a mindset that is natural to humanity. Mental and spiritual discipline, or as David Wheaton, another commentator, calls it, mental diligence and moral discipline, these have to be in place. And they have to be in place because of what Peter says next in this verse. So he says, preparing your minds for action, being sober-minded, set your hope fully. Here is the command. Set your hope fully. I don't feel the need to do a lot of explaining here. This is not a 90-10 split between Christ's grace and your bank account. This is every last drop of hope in your heart, resolutely set upon the grace of God in Christ Jesus. Every bit. You push all of your chips in. You put all of your eggs in that basket. None in any other. Fully. Completely. So is it any wonder that Peter has to use these fighting words at the beginning? Because you're going to have to fight for this. You have to fight to set your hope fully, not 98%, not 99%, 100%. You have to fight for this. You have to fight against the enemies of all righteousness for this. Especially in our day, in our situation, there are so many attractive rivals to the grace of God in Christ Jesus. They're ones that we can see and taste and touch and buy and have delivered to our doorstep. And I'm asking you, because Peter's asking you, because God's asking you to set your hope fully on something that you can't see. Mental diligence and moral discipline are necessary for this. Set your hope fully. The culture, our world, our flesh, the devil, they will all tempt us with surrogates, with alternatives. But all of these can and will ultimately fail if we put our hope in them. They are passing away with this world. People die. Right? You put your hope in a coming marriage, your spouse can die. Your spouse will fail you if they don't die. And ultimately they will. Houses burn down. Money gets spent. Money gets stolen. Cars break down. Houses burn down. Health will fail. Man, if 2020 has taught you anything, it should be that you are not the only determining factor of your own health. These are uncertain. Well, the only thing certain about them is that they will fail ultimately if we hope in them. So, it's a rickety bridge. It's not one that we want to walk on. Peter wants you to fight to put the fullness of your hope in Christ's grace, the only certain thing. So every time you catch yourself thinking about that next purchase, it takes diligence and discipline to say, no, I will not set my hope there. But I will fix my mind and my hope upon the grace of God in Christ. When your heart begins to dream of a better life because of a new spouse or a new house or older kids, you must intentionally turn your thoughts to Christ and His grace. This is difficult, it is painstaking, but it's necessary. You've got to enter into this fighting against your flesh and not giving it what it wants, so that you can set your hope fully on the grace of God to be brought to you the revelation of Christ. So we've emphasized those fighting words. We've emphasized this command to set, to actively be setting our hope on the grace of God. And so now I want to emphasize what this grace of God is that he's calling us to set on. This is a forward-looking grace that is to be brought to us in the future. Your hope is to be set fully on the only thing that is certain, God's grace on the last day for those who trust Christ Jesus. Now, it is true, you have already, if you are a follower, a blood-bought believer in Jesus, you have already experienced the grace of God in Christ in abundant measure. You've been delivered from your sins. You've been brought into a church. You have a Bible in your hands, the Holy Spirit who dwells within you, hope of a future. That's abundant grace that you've received. And let me tell you, these are but the down payment of what's coming on the last day for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. When Jesus is revealed to all the world as the universal King and Lord that he is, on the last day, you will inherit everything with him. You will enter into the unhindered presence of God. You will dwell in the new Jerusalem with the glory of God shining as the sun in full strength and the Lamb as its temple. You will never sin or even be tempted to sin again. You will have a lasting home. You will live in perfect harmony with those around you and, most importantly, with God forever. It will never end. You will never die. Don't let any job promotion or amount of riches or experience that this world has to offer, don't let any of it distract your heart from that grace that is coming to you on that last day. Because here's the reality, that every experience that you have in the new creation, every sight that your eye beholds, every sound that your ear hears, every impulse and feeling of joy and worship will all have been purchased for you by the blood of Christ on his cross. It is all of God's grace. It is none of your deserving. It is none of your earning. This grace will be delivered to you as a gift from God in the future. This is your inheritance. Don't sell your inheritance for a single meal like Esau did. C.S. Lewis talks about how we are far too easily pleased. We're content to sit on the shore and make mud pies while God has offered us a holiday at sea. Don't take the bait of resting your hopes in what is ultimately passing away and coming to an end and will fail you and disappoint you and let you down. Don't do it. The things of this world are trifle, trinkets, compared to what God has in store for those who love him. And not only that, they'll fail. No money can ransom your soul on the last day. No good deed will make up for your rebellion on the last day. No infinite amount of good deeds that you've done will ever ransom your soul from God's wrath. Only God in Christ. This perfect salvation that Christ accomplished and wants to give to you as a gift. Only this grace is certain and fixed and sure. They are destined to fail, and only the grace of God in Christ will uphold you in the end. On Pastor's Talk recently, the host asked Mark Dever, looking ahead to 2021, what do you hope folks listening will have taken from this year? So they were looking back on 2020. And Mark Dever, this pastor in Washington, D.C., replied, confident and joyful expectation of the return of Christ. So there's one. That's what hope is. We've talked about this many times before. Hope is not an uncertain desire that you have. Like, I hope that it will rain tomorrow, or hope that it won't rain tomorrow. That's uncertain. That's a desire. This is confident expectation. That's what biblical hope is. Right? So he says, I hope believers looking back on 2020, looking forward to 2021, will have grown in confident and joyful expectation of the return of Christ, right? Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice. Even though right now you're being pressed with trials and persecuted. He's writing to persecuted Christians who are suffering. And he says, you don't see him yet, but you rejoice with joy, inexpressible and filled with glory. Right now, confident, joyful expectation of the return of Christ. He says, that's the first thing. The second thing, a declining hope in this life and this world. So from the time that you become a believer to the time that you are taken into God's glory, all of it by the grace of Christ, you should see a decline, a decrease over time in your hope and your confidence in the things in this world, and an increase in your hope and your confidence in the return of Christ and the grace that will be yours on that day. And he says, love this. I love this because this was such on, I listened to this like on Friday or Thursday, and it was such a confirmation to me of what I was speaking on today. He says, a confident, joyful expectation of return of Christ, a declining hope in this life and this world, and third, a recalculation of where their focus should be in their hopes. Maybe you need a recalculation this morning. Maybe that is the big lesson for you out of this whole thing, is you just need to recalculate your hopes. This is Peter's desire for you. And because Peter wrote it, we can say that this is God's desire for you. And I share that desire. The return of Christ and the grace he brings with him are the only certain thing for believers. I don't know what fighting will look like for every person listening to this year. But I know this. Fixing your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ has value whether 2021 is the worst year or the best year that you've ever had. If it's worse than 2020, you won't be let down. I'm not saying that it won't hurt. It will hurt. It'll hurt badly. It would be foolish of me to say that it wouldn't hurt, but you're not going to be let down by it because you will have been fixing your hope on Christ and the certainty of the future. You'll say, you know, this hurts, but I'm not surprised that these things would let me down. Of course they will. They're temporary. They're passing away with the world. Maranatha, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Your hope will ripen and mature on that day of calamity rather than be taken from you. And if it's the best year ever, at the end of it, you're not going to take the bait. If you're setting your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you in Christ Jesus and his return, you're not going to take the bait. You're not going to be tempted to set your hope in the fleeting things of this world because you're going to know, number one, these are a trifle compared to that. And number two, everything could turn with a phone call. Like the best year ever on December 31st could be turned upside down for you in a 30-second phone call, a knock at your door. Why would you hope in those things? If 2021 is the best year and you've been hoping in Christ and growing in that hope, you're not going to take that bait. It's a win-win for the people of God. I want to close with an illustration to drive this home. You don't have to turn there, but go with me in your mind to the Old Testament, to Genesis chapter 6. I'm not going to read any verses from there, but just in your mind, turn there. In faith, Noah spent about 100 years building a boat. Right? If you read the account, he was 500 when he started building. He was like 598 or almost 600 when he got into the boat. Before it ever rained, he entered into the boat with family, provisions, and animals. Do you think that in those 100 years of building, or the sitting in the ark waiting for the rain to come, do you think he looked out or heard life happening around him and was tempted toward envy? Those people aren't having to build that boat. They're making merry at a wedding, and I'm sitting here sweating. Those people are plowing their fields in expectation of a harvest that, by the way, will never come. But I'm envying that. Do you think that when he was walking up the gangplank or whatever it was that got him into the boat, do you think that he was wishing for home and the comforts of his bed and that chair with the candle lit? It was just right in the mornings when he woke up. Do you think that maybe he was wishing for those things? He might have been. I don't know, maybe. But here's what I know for sure. When the waters of judgment lifted the ark, I doubt very highly that he would have traded places with anyone else for any amount of anything that the world had to offer. Do you think that he envied their houses or their wealth or their fishing boats on that day? Do you think he looked to the highest mountain his eyes could see and said, "I wish I were there instead of here," as the water rose and bore up the ark? No, friends. I doubt that he would even so much as have walked on the edge of that boat as if on a balance beam, with the old world passing away under him and the new world represented in the boat. I doubt he would even have been tempted to get on the side of the boat like that. He was in the only safe place. He was in the only sure place. Even though for 100 years he didn't see it, he waited for it. He put his hope in it, and it proved sure. Because God was true to his word. If there were any inclination from within him or without, would he not have fought it with every moral resource that he had? Nothing could make Noah abandon ship as it was borne up on the waters of judgment. Christ and his grace are the only safe place. They are the only certain thing in this entire world. You might not see it now, but God is true to his word. Christ is alive forever, and he is bringing grace to his people on the last day. Set your hope fully on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Christ Jesus. Fight. Fight with everything that you have for hope in the only certain thing. Would you pray with me? Father, we ask that you give us grace to know what needs to change in our lives this year in order to fight for hope in the only sure thing. Any recovery or renewal or rebuilding of what's been torn down over the last year in our lives, in our church's lives, God, they will be for naught if they don't have hope standing at the beginning of them. Hope in these things. So God, give us the grace to obey this command, to set our hopes fully on the grace to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus. Let this year be a year of training in these things, whether it's a good year or a bad year or somewhere in between. God, help us. Help us. We can't do this on our own, but you've called us to it, and you've given us your spirit for it. And I pray that we would do it. Help us walk faithfully. Help us love you well. And I pray that you would continue to work in the hearts of your people now, in Jesus' name. Amen. God has not left us without any visible, tangible reminders of the grace that will be brought to us on the day of Christ and how that grace was earned. Not only do we have one another, we have the table of the Lord where we get to come and partake and participate in the gospel in a tangible, savory way. We can taste and see that the Lord is good. We can taste and see that the Lord, whom we cannot see, is good at this table. This is a table filled, brimming over with hope. It's my prayer that Christ will meet you at this table this morning and it will communicate hope to you, this confident certainty of his grace. This table has broken bread on it, bread that signifies the rending and the breaking of Christ's body instead of sinners. And the cup on the table is filled with crushed fruit of the vine, and it reminds us that Jesus was crushed and his blood was spilled, because without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So for the remission of your sins and my sins, Christ was broken and his blood poured out in your place, in my place. Our hope rests upon that. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. This table can assure your heart of the grace that is to come. So I pray that you would make it your prayer today to God when you come to the table, that you would recalibrate, recalculate the hope that you have, and that you would place it all on Christ as you come forward. This table is not for unbelievers, people who don't trust Christ. This table is not for people who are walking openly in sin, who are unrepentant of sin. But if you are one of Christ's sheep and you're walking in fellowship with your local church, you're welcome at this table. This table is for you, for repentant sinners. Sinners who are being transformed from one degree of glory to another, who are striving to walk in right relationship with God. This table is open for you. So come in repentance and faith as an expression of your commitment, your recommitment to God. I'm pushing all my chips in on Christ and his grace. Let this be that for you today. If there's a commitment that you need to make before the Lord, you can kneel at your chair. You can come and kneel at the steps. You can go pray with me. I'm here for that. I would love to pray with you and point you to Christ. As we gather at the table, we remember that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." So, Father, give us grace to eat and drink in a worthy manner, discerning the body, having regard for our brothers and sisters, and living in right fellowship with you as much as we possibly can, and in repentance and faith. God, help us. Let this table minister to your people and assure them of the grace that is coming for them and that is already theirs. It just stands to be revealed in the last time. God, thank you for the goodness of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Continue your work of transforming us. Deal gently and mercifully with your servants this morning. In Jesus' name. Amen. The table's open.
What is our hope in life and death? Christ alone, Christ alone. What is our only confidence? That our souls to him belong, who holds our days within his hand.
what comes apart from His command, and what will keep us to the end, the love of Christ in which we stand. Oh, say hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Oh, sing hallelujah, now whenever we confess Christ our hope in life and death. What truth can calm the troubled soul? God is good, God is good. Where is His grace and goodness known? In our great Redeemer's blood, who holds our faith when fears arise, who stands above the stormy tribe, who sends the waves that bring us nigh unto the shore, the rock of Christ. Oh, sing hallelujah, our hope springs eternal. Sing hallelujah, now whenever we confess Christ our hope and life is. What shall we sing? Christ He lives, Christ He lives, and what reward will heaven bring? Everlasting life with Him, there we will rise to meet the Lord, and sin and death will be destroyed, and we will
For I received from the Lord, but also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Let's eat together. It says, in the same way also, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Let's drink. And Paul reminds us, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." Amen.
starting a new group, and I don't think we have the slide because I wasn't super organized this week. So we're going to be praying for the Portuguese-speaking Jews in Portugal for the next month. This is a smaller group. It's only about 600 people who are known to be in this Jewish community in Portugal. But they're considered completely 0% reached as far as like evangelical Christianity. And so their beliefs are going to be pretty much the same that as we would expect from Jews in other areas of the world. They're just located in Portugal. So that's specifically what we're going to be praying for. And so most of you probably know a little bit about Jewish tradition, but they do represent kind of the oldest monotheistic religion in modern times. And because of their uniqueness of their history and culture, Jews do have that really strong sense of identity. That's really, that's their life. Their belief and their Jewish faith really is all that sums up who they are. And so they're, you know, they have this huge history of persecution and discrimination, and that I think has even drawn them more closely to what they believe as a people group. And so we're just going to be praying specifically. I'm not going to go through. Joshua Project has a whole lot of cool details you guys can go read. But one thing I want us to pray specifically today is that the Lord would just send loving Christians to work in these communities, people who are willing to say, hey, I get where you're at, and make real connections and build real relationships with these people so that they can reach them with the gospel. So just take a minute and just pray that the Lord would send people into this community specifically, and pray that they would build meaningful relationships that will end up in people just seeing Christ and seeing that he truly is God and he is the one that can save. So just take a second. Sent your son through that people group, Father, and you have a plan for them to know you and to love you. Father, we pray this morning that you would send believers specifically into Portugal to touch the lives of the Jews there. Lord, I pray that you would help them to build meaningful relationships, help them to go in and just love these people and do life alongside these people. Whatever barriers there are due to COVID, Father, I pray that you would just break those down and provide a way for them to reach these lives, Father. And I do pray that the Jewish people in this community, Lord, that their hearts would be open to hearing your gospel, that they would be open to a belief that feels to them like totally outside their comfort zone, totally besides what they've grown up believing. Father, I pray that you would just allow them to see that you are good and that you love them and that you sent Christ and that he is truly your son. I'm in the fulfillment of who they know as the Messiah. Father, that he has already come. Lord, I pray that you would just give them that certainty. And I pray that they would just turn their eyes to you. We love you and we know that you have a heart for this people and you can do this. And we pray that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Couple of quick announcements. Wednesday prayers, that's starting back up this week. Yes, from 12 to 1 in the sanctuary. Life group situation is still being worked out, so that's going to be reported pretty soon, but we just don't have definites on that just yet. Deshaun, which is one of our kiddos that lives actually just around the corner near the church, he needs a ride to Pineville High every day this week, so Tuesday through Friday. I guess that's not every day. Every day but Monday of this week, Tuesday through Friday. You would have to pick him up at 1:15 and drop him off by 1:30. So if you're available to do that, contact Zach and he can get you hooked up with that. There is a brief meeting for those who are doing Bibleville. So if you're a volunteer, you're looking to get involved with the Children's Church Ministry, we're going to be meeting Sunday, January 10th, immediately following service. And then College Sunday School is going to start back up on January 17th. I feel like I say this every week, you know, obviously we have needs that are continual, like childcare, sports phone, things like that. And I just want you to know from someone who sat and listened to it as well, like, we don't mean to beat you over the head with the information by any means. I think that we're a church that really does serve. I feel like a lot of people serve in a lot of capacities, and that encourages my heart so much. I just want to thank all of you for the way that you serve and you love, and just wanted to encourage you that we're not all the hand or all the foot or all the arm or all the leg. The beauty of it is that we work together and we serve in different capacities, and that's what makes up the church. So don't be discouraged. Like, we give these blanket statements, and if you're already serving and you're already pouring in, we're like, awesome. And you may even be in a season where you can serve in some capacities and not others, and that's okay too. We just took off this past semester from Bibleville because James was finishing his master's degree, and it was really overwhelming, and we didn't have time to prep. Like, that's okay. So I know that sometimes if you're in a classroom and the teacher's like addressing the whole class, even if it has nothing to do with you, like, you tend to like take on guilt, like, oh no, am I doing something wrong? And I just want to encourage your heart again that we all serve in different roles, and just to get before the Lord and just pray and say, hey, how do you want me to show up and serve? What does that look like today? Because I don't feel like great with kids, but James signed us up, and so that meant the Lord wanted us serving in that capacity. And you know what? I found that I really love it because I really love your kids. So it's been a huge blessing to me and one that I would not have expected. So I just love you guys and want to encourage you. Just get before the Lord and be obedient, and it's gonna be great. And I think that's it. Love you guys.
All right, let's do this. Can we stand together as we dismiss? And I'd like to do this. Mike, can you close us out in prayer today, if you wouldn't mind? Amen. Y'all dismissed.